spent the last couple of months learning one of the Machal Yakum, Vishal Akum, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, and now we step back to Simen Kuf Yud Beis to another one of the Machal Yakum, which is Pas Akum, both of which come from the same Mishnah, and from there we start on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. As we've seen in the past, towards the end of the second parak of Avodah Zarah, the first two Prak Avodah Zarah are dedicated to the halachas that govern a Jew's interactions with non-Jews. And towards the end of the second parak, you have a series of three Mishnayos that focus on items that you might get from a non-Jew. And we're focused on the second of those three Mishnayos, the middle Mishnah. The first Mishnah talks about, you know, which items you might get from a non-Jew. We have to be concerned about an Isur Hana, because it may have a Avodah Zarah connection. The last Mishnah are things which are Heter Gamer. And the middle Mishnah, our focus here, Laman Hei Beis, are those items which are in the middle. Not Asur Bahana, there's no Avodah Zarah concern, but they are Asur Bachila. Mutter Bahana, but Asur Bachila. So it's not an Avodah Zarah concern, but it's non-kosher for some other reason. The Mishnah opens on the Hei Beis, the Elul Devarim Shal Ovdei Kochav Masurin, the Eini Yisur Nisra Hana. The following items you would get from a non-Jew are aser to eat, but not an Isra Hana. So number one is Chalav. Chalav shechalavo akum in Yisrael ehu. Milked by a non-Jew without Jewish supervision. The Chalav akum. That's item number one. That's a later simon. That's in the Kuf Tezvav. The hapas by Hashem and Shalhem, as well as non-Jewish bread, a non-Jewish oil. Non-Jewish bread, there's our topic. And the Mishnah has a note. Rebu Beis Dino Hetiru Hashem. I just told you that I am number three after Chalav Akum and Pas Akum and Shaman Akum, but you should know that Shaman Akum is no longer us. Rebbe and his Beis Din were Mati or Shaman. That's fascinating. We're going to be coming back to that. There's no sin about Shaman Akum because it's no longer us. The fact that it is Mutter engenders a whole conversation about Lam Vav. Why did they make it Mutter? Why did they null the Isser and how? But what? Yeah, well, next, what authority do they have to undo an earlier Akzera? And as we're going to see, this is foreshadowing, they may have implications for Pas as well. The Mishnah is clear that the Isra and Shemana was rolled back. We're going to see hints already in the Gemara that maybe Pas was at least somewhat rolled back as well. We're going to keep our eyes open for that. And then the fourth item is Shlakos.
We left the room in transfers with Chuma.
Okay. We'll see where we go with this. Shlakos is bishul, cooked foods.
The example that Rashi gives.
And then the Mishnah goes on after us to list several more things. The rest of the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, are items where there's a concern that there was a non-kosher ingredient mixed in. Kevashin shadakon lasel sochan yain v'chometz. If you have something which was pickled, it wasn't cooked, it's not bishulakum. But if it's a sort of pickled item where the recipe often includes wine or wine vinegar, or they're getting into non-kosher issues with kashrus of fish, and so on and so forth. The Mishnah closes, Areila Asurin ve'ein Isurin Israhana. So once again, the items on this list, beginning with Chalav, Chalav Akum, Pas Akum, Shaman Akum, at a certain point in history, and Shlakos, Bishal Akum, are all, as well as the others, the Kvashin and so forth, the Aser Bachila Mutter Bahana. So why is Pas Akum? See, the Mishnah is clear. Again, our focus turns more specifically to Pas and to Bishul. Pas Akum and Shlakos Akum. So when we had opened the halachas of Bishul Akum, we had seen there's some discussion as to why it is that Bishul Akum is Aser. Pas is a little more straightforward, or so it seems. Rashi says in the Mishnah that all of these items on Shlakos, he says, "Kol davar shebishul akum afilu b'kli tahor v'chulu mishum chasnus." All the items mean up until this point. Shlakos is item number four, so. Certainly, Pas, Shemen, and Shlakos are because of. Of a concern of chasnus, a concern that's going to lead to ultimately to intermarriage. The Rambam says that as well. If you look at the Rambam in two places, he says it. Rab, all the Machal Yakim are in the last parak of Hilchas Macholas Asuris, Perikid Zayin. Perikid Zayin opens with some other issues. Perikid Zayin is the parak of miscellaneous, small miscellaneous topics. The larger topics have whole prakim or multiple prakim dedicated to them earlier. Last parak, Perikid Zayin, is a whole series of various Isurim, which only take a couple of halachas each. So he opens Perikid Zayin with the halachas of Kalim, which we touched on a little bit last year. Kasher and Kalim, Tovel and Kalim, that takes you through the first eight halachas of Perikid Zayin. Then, the ninth halacha, Perikid Zayin halacha test, he says, V'yesh dar mecherim, asru osam chachamim, there's a series of other items that Chazal forbade, even though there's no real root to it min haTorah. It's not an Isur Daraisa. It's not even rooted in Isur Daraisa. And he says, why do you have all these other Isurim? To create social distance, the original social distancing, but as in not geographical distance, social distancing between the Jews and non-Jews, so that there won't be too much intermingling, which could lead to intermarriage. And then he talks about a series of items, drinking, even if there's no concern of nesach, that's the topic in Simon Kuf Yudal, Sheikha Rakam. We'll get to that as well. It says a Pasakam and Bishalakam. Even though there's no concern of non kosher ingredients, it's Aser. And then he moves in Allah's Yud Yud Aleph, Kedarki goes in order. He talks about Sheikha Rakam, Allah's Yud Yud Aleph, and Allah's Yud Bez Yud Gimel are the halachas of Pas. Even though Akum. And there as well, he repeats that it's a concern of chasnas, because he, we'll get to this thing there next week, the Rambam in Halakha Yud Beis begins to distinguish potentially between commercially baked bread versus homemade bread, and he says, why is there a difference? The concern is chasnas. So that's the Rashi, that's the Rambam. Where did they get it from? That's a concern of chasnas. Where did you see? What did you see? Did you see? Where they get from that chasnas? So that shows up twice. It shows up twice. It shows up twice in the Gemara. Take a look here in Lamed Hamed Beis. A piece of Gemara that we'll focus on more next week. That's really the driver of Siv Beis. Here towards the beginning of the wide lines of the Lamed Hamed Beis. The Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is out in some far-flung location. He's Yatzer Rabbi Lasada. A non-Jew comes by and offers him some bread. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, wow, Kamano Pasu, such a nice bread. What motivated the rabbi? What prompted the rabbis to forbid pasuk? Such nice bread. Interesting comments. The Gemara says, "What? What we marocham b'shem chasnas?" The Gemara says, "Of course, we all know what the motivation of the Isser pasuk was chasnas." So the Gemara says, "No, it was something more specific. Why is pasuk aser even basad when you're far away from an urban center?" That so it launches a whole conversation that we'll get to next week, but limitations on Pasach. Does it apply equally in different contexts? That begins the discussion that ultimately comes to the difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi practice in terms of Pas Palter Bismaze. So again, so we'll get to more of the details of the Gemara Blue Netter next week. But you see in the opening, the Gemara assumes Dever Pashit. The motivation for Pasachim, of course, it's chasnas. And that's rooted in a early memory that shows up as we sort of read in the context of Pasachim on Shalom Aleichem, Lamed Vav Beis. A couple lines down, the Gemara is talking about a series of various Machal Yakum, Pasachim, Shemanachim, Yeinachim, and the Gemara says Mishum Benosayim. Pitam v'shimna mishum yenon, yena mishum benoseyam. That there was a concern that ultimately it's all going to lead to chasnas. Now this. This commentary of Yitzhak here already adds a little bit which is that we assume there's a step-by-step process. We're looking at a slippery slope. We don't think that you're going to eat the bread immediately next thing you know you're dating the girl, but you're comfortable with the palace and the shemen that may open you up to yayin, and that in turn, drinking together already will be a more direct driver towards chasen. The truth is, in the language of the Rambam also you get that impression. If you look at the Rambam carefully, it's interesting language. It mentions that the Rambam talks about it twice. When he introduces the Machal Yaakov, he says,
this is like more like what Rava was saying, right?
Yavol lidei chasnus.
Nevertheless,
Halach Yud Beis, he says, Iker Issa was chasnus, im yochal pas ba'le batim, yavol is odetzlan. If you're going to eat home-baked non-Jewish bread, you'll come to eat meals with them, to have a suda. The Rambam is unpacking even more. The pas is sort of the first, is the gateway. Pas will get you comfortable with having a full meal. A full meal ready will get you comfortable, as the Gemara said, with wine. And maybe that's what the Rambam means also. Lusod means with wine as well. Or maybe by lusod he means bishalakam. And then, as he says, once you begin to break down barriers and boundaries, so you may end up in places that you don't. That you don't want to be. So it seems like it's a pretty straightforward.
Okay, all right, okay.
It seems like it's pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Okay. Is that good? That's a
muscle. So this is how Rava
explains.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, you usually assume that it's a euphemism for intimacy, which itself is fascinating. That the meaning of that, I think, is not so much past related as much as thinking about it captures something about the Jewish approach to physicality. But it is interesting that it's lechem. If you think lechem means literally lechem, clearly the Sahara Ophim in Egyptian society was a pretty significant post. Yeah, that's interesting. Right, so is that at least an asmachta? That the Torah chooses to use the terminology of lechem in the context of that's actual chasnus. That's interesting. Not sure. Yeah. There's another pasuk in the Tanakh that may tie some of these together. That potentially ties together several of these isurim. The Gemara, the member on Laban Vav Mabez had said, Pas and Shemen, Yayin ben Osein. Where else do you potentially find those items together? So you mentioned that the Mishnah lines the first four items in the Mishnah on Laban Mabez is Chalav, Pas, Shemen, and Bishul, but the Mishnah says, but Shemen is no longer us. Shemen was us, and Revi Beis Dino Hetir is Hashem. I mentioned that launches a whole conversation, how did that work? How old is the Isra Shemen? And then how, that may impact, but what authority or what mechanism, as you said, did you and us need to use to undo it? So the Gemara in talk, the Gemara wants to first understand what's the basis for Isra Shemen. So you see the very bottom line on Lamed Hey Mabez, Hashemen Shalahen, Shemen, Rav Amar Daniel Gazar Lav, Shmuel Amar Zilifas and Shal Kalim Tamein Osrata. Rav says that the Gzeir of Shemen goes back to Daniel, while Shmuel says it's a concern of non-kosher Kalim. A concern of non-kosher kelim. So the Gemara later on says, "Well, what pasuk? What's the pasuk?" The very last narrow line, the first wide line. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Daniel. Yosem Daniel alibo ashelo yizgael befas bag hamelach uviyein mishtab. This is the fifth pasuk in Daniel. Parakal pasuk. Okay. Daniel, you'll remember the beginning, is he's part of Golas Yechaniah, that early Gola, when Nebuchadnezzar had already installed the puppet king Yechaniah, and then after he realized Yechaniah is not being loyal, he swaps out Yechaniah and puts Zedekiah in his place. The last the last king, Golus of Kiyahu, that's going to come around a decade later, is going to coincide with the Churban Bayis Rishon. Golus Yechaniah, around approximately a decade before Churban Bayis Rishon, that's when Mordechai and Daniel, Chanan, Mishael, Azariah, a whole group are taken into Golus. So Daniel and Chanan, Mishael, Azariah, all at the beginning of Sefer Daniel, taken to Golus during Golus Yechaniah's children, their kids. And they're brought to the palace of the king, and the idea is Nebuchadnezzar wants to have them trained to become royal pages, royal staff. And there's a particular fellow who's put in charge of taking care of them, and they need to be educated and they need to be well fed. Daniel is not interested in eating the tray for food. So he has a whole negotiation described with the Meltzer, that you take that and I'll take kosher food instead. And you know, there's something in it for everyone. The Meltzer will get to keep the extra portion of royal food, and Daniel will get to eat kosher food. The Meltzer is worried, you're not going to be so healthy, what's going to be? He says, let's try an experiment. And in fact, it's fantastic. Daniel is healthier than all the other non-Jewish kids who are eating the non-kosher food. So the language of the pasuk, this all begins with pasuk hey, this pasuk. Daniel is some alibo, he pays attention. Sim leiv. He does not want to be contaminated by pasbag hamelech uveyein mishdav, by the pasbag of the king and by the wine of his drinks. Now where is there a reference to shemen? It said pas and yain. So Rashi, so the Gemara goes on to say mishdav, mishtei mishdav sakas rav. That's two drinks. One is Mishta Yain, one is Mishta Shemen. The Gemara goes on to say that the question is, was Daniel just, this is just for himself, or this was for everyone? So Shmuel says Daniel was concerned himself about Shemen Akum. He wasn't imposing anyone else. And Rav says, no, this was the beginning of the Gzeir of Shemen Akum. Okay. What the Pasuk does seem to clearly say is Pas. Pas Baga Melch. So the Ran has a... That's part of what launches the Ran into a fascinating Chiddush, which becomes a central topic in the opening Sif of Siman Kuf Yud Beis. The Ran is bothered. I understand. Why did the Mishnah has a list of a series of items? Chalav Akum, Pasa Akum, Shemen Akum, Bishul Akum. So Shemen is distinct and Chalav is distinct. But Pas and Bishul, they're basically the same. They're foods which are cooked or baked by a non-Jew. So you can't have them. So it says, I understand, why is the Mishnah list them separate? And my palginu, that's the Ran's question. And he says, his first idea is, it could be that they're distinct in the Mishnah because they were made at separate times. Maybe the Gzeira on Pas preceded the Gzeira on Bishul. And at least some versions of the Ran, he says, look at Pasuk. Pasuk talks about Pas. Pas Baga Melech. Doesn't say anything about Bishul. Pas Baga Melech. As well as Yain and Shemen. You see, these are the ancient Gzeiras. And then he goes on to say there's more. He says, it's not just that Pas is an earlier din, and at that point, the truth is the notion that Pas is earlier, that Pas, because after all, appears in Daniel alongside Shemen. So the truth is, the Ran says that, but the Tosfos here quotes a Rashbam who says that's not Pshat the Pasuk at all. It says Pas Baga Melech doesn't mean. Bread. He says it's like liftah. It means spread. It's food. It's not. If anything, it's closer to Bishul Akum than to Pas Akum. And the Rashbam goes on to say the staff in the palace, they take away the Pas Bag, they give them vegetables instead. How is that a fair swap? What's the problem? So Rashi in on the pasuk in Daniel is aligned with his grandson in Rashbam, and he explains. You would expect, you know, if you're giving vegetables, that sounds like should be swapping it for hummus. I don't know, not for bread. Bread and vegetables are in peril. Different parts of the food wheel, different parts of my plate. So the Rosh and the Rashbam say no. Pasbag doesn't mean bread. It means other food. So the Ran though interprets the pasuk differently. I think the machlokas Ran and Rashbam and Vodazara is the machlokas on the page. Rashi and Rav Sadigon. If you look at Pirush Rav Sadigon on Daniel, he does say, said pas bag hamelech, like pas bar hamelech, like the language of bar when they come down to collect bar from Mitzrayim. And he said, yeah, that means wheat or it means fine flour. So it seems like when Machlok is on the page, Rav Sadigon and Rashi, is this pas bag a reference to bread or not? And that also is a machlokas Ran and Rashbam here. So that's one possibility to how to make sense of why are pas and bishul separate. But the Ran said, again, it depends on, to say that there's a historical difference assumes that indeed this or pas akum is earlier, assumes that a particular understanding of a sadigo in the Ran in the pasuk in Daniel. Then the Ran says, here's what I really think. Not so much an issue of historical difference, but it's a difference in the nature of the Isser. He says the following fascinating finish. He says a lot of what we would call pas akum, he thinks, really is bishul akum. He says, if a non-Jew bakes bread, in other words, I go to a non-Jew's home, he baked bread, and now he gives it to me, sells it to me, gives it to me. Says, that's bishul akum, says the rabbi. I don't need pas akum for that, it's bishul akum. Why is it any different than any other bishul akum? The non-Jew made it. He baked it. Okay. It's the same as he. Well, why does it matter whether he cooks the potatoes or bakes the bread? That's bishul akum. I don't need pas akum for that. So the Ran comes with a fantastic chiddush. The Ran says pas akum is something that wouldn't, if it wasn't bread, it wouldn't be a problem. If it was some other cooked food, this would be fine. But because it's bread, there's a newest sort of bread. So what could that be? The Ran says. The Ran says that the added iser of pas is if it's his. If it's his baked bread. I mean his bread. It's bishul akum. No. Bishul akum is only if the, as we learned later in Lamed Ches, bishul akum is only when the non-Jew cooked it. Right? But if a non-Jew owns a factory, but the Jews are doing the cooking, it's not bishul akum. Right? Bishul akum, as we learned on Daf Lamed Ches, it has to be fully cooked by the non-Jew. If the Jew and the non-Jew share the cooking, then it's not bishul akum. The Ran says, yeah. Bishul akum means the Jew actually, the non-Jew did the bishul. But how about any other food, if the non-Jew cooked the treif, if the Jew cooked it, it's kosher. But by bread, even if a Jew baked it, it's treif. I mean, he says, pas akum means it belongs to the non-Jew. If it belongs to the non-Jew, even if, let's say the non-Jew needed it, and then a Jew bakes it, treif. The non-Jew made the loaf, and the Jew bakes it, treif. Treif. If it belongs to a nachri, if it's pas shel nachri, then even if the Jew baked it, it doesn't make it kosher. That's the new iser. That's the Ran says. There are two different categories of pas. There's when it's actually baked by the guy, so then it doesn't matter who owns it. Baked by the guy is a problem. But if it belongs to Nachri, even if he just did earlier stages and you baked it, that's still trade. That's a massive chiddush of the Ran. That means that we don't just have to discuss the rules of baking, we have to discuss the rules of kneading also. if a non-Jew owns dough, needs dough, and then I pick it up and make it, the Ram thinks that that's going to be problematic. I don't think the baking is going to solve the problem. I believe that once he owns at the time of the Lisha, you're done for. Yeah, that's interesting. That's very, very sharp. With the Ran, fascinating. With the Ran, undo the whole heter of Mechiras Chametz. I don't think so. It's very, very sharp. I don't think so because at that point it's a way past the straw. But once it's baked, for sure, the story is closed.
Later on.
I don't think so. It has to be at the time of the manufacture. Now, the Ran uses this, by the way. It's hard to even wrap your head around this. The Ran uses this to solve another problem, which is, now you might say to me, well, how could the Ran say such a thing? What do you mean? The non-Jew needed it, and now it's treif, even though I bake it? But didn't we have a Gemara? Right? That if it's kosher regardless of whether the non-Jew lit the fire and the Jew puts it in, or the Jew lit the fire, the non-Jew puts it in. Right? That was Reb Yochanan. So what do you mean? Beferish. Or even the non-Jew lit the fire and the non-Jew puts it in, but the Jew comes along as mechate chituye. He was poking the fire. Any of those three are fine. Whether the non-Jew... Did the Jew lit the fire? Jew lit the fire. Or the Jew put the bread in the fire, in the oven, or the Jew stoked the coals. Any of those three, and the Ran rephrases Gemara's Gimel Malachos Kapas. Any of those three is was Nafti Matra. So what do you mean? It's the Beferish against the Ran. So he would say, no. That Gemara is only talking about a case where, it's Jewish owed. It's just a problem that the non-Jew is doing the actual afia. So the only issue is non-Jew doing the actual afiyah, so any Jewish participation in the afiyah is enough to make it mutter. And he says, where did that Gemara appear? Reb Yochanan. What daf? I'm not asking for gematrias. What daf? Lamed Ches. He says, the Gemara works with piskos, where we're going through chunk by chunk through the Mishnah. So, Lamed Heim Ebeis, you have the piska of pas. And the bottom of Lamed Hei Beis going to Lamed Vav was a pisgah of Shemin. The two dots, you have the quote. Hapas. Hashemin. Then, finally, Lamed Zayin, Amed Beis, we had the pisgah of Shalakos. And that was a sugi we'd been focused on earlier in the year, the Shalakos. Lamed Zayin Beis on to Lamed Ches. So the Ran says, isn't it strange? The whole memory of Yochanan about Jewish and non-Jewish, sharing the work and baking bread. Why is that in the Piska of Shlokos? Why is it Lamed Ches? Shouldn't have that been back on Lamed Hei in the Piska of Pas? Isn't that strange? There could be other solutions to that. The simple answer is, the Gemara is talking about the discussion of, in the context of Bishul, about joint participation, so it's a good concept to talk about if I pass also. But the Ran is very bothered. He says it doesn't belong there. It belongs in Lamed Hei, the Piska of Pas. Why is Reb Yochanan in the Piska of Bishul? He says, I'll tell you why. Because it's not relevant to the Piska of Pas. He's talking about bread. He says, no. He's talking about bread, but a type of bread which falls under the rubric of Bishulakim, where it's owned by a Jew, but the only issue is that the non-Jew is baking it. So if it's just a question of non-Jew is doing work, so that's Bishulakim. It doesn't matter whether it's potatoes or eggs or bread. It says the Ran's pushing its chiddush. But the fact that the Mishnah had to have a separate phrase, pasakum, a separate, that's because it's a different issur, and that's pas that belongs to a nachri. But the nachri did the lisha or the aricha, where he kneaded the dough or shaped it into loaf. Then even if the non-Jew jumps in later, the Jew does the whole baking. It's too late. So that's the Ran. That's the chiddush of the Ran. And the truth is, if you look in the Ran's, the Rebbe's Rebbe, you look back in the Rajman Taras Abai, he's actually made copies. You want to hold on to this, feel free to hold on to this beyond tonight also.
Minyan have a simon, Allah have a simon.
Thank you, I have.
You have a Taras Abai. This is the four Amudim, the beginning of Bayis Shlishi Shar Shvi. We had been focused earlier in the year on the end of the Shar Shvi, which is the Bishalak. But he opens with Pasak. So just to see the layout, and he starts Shar Shvi, Sharninu Perakim Amidim, Eil Dram Shaov de Gilulin, Asturin, Yisrun Yisrael. No, Pas Shem and Shlok. Good. And he begins to talk about Pas. Quoting the Gemara in the base. Then, back and forth about Palter and so on and so forth. We'll get to that, Blinana. And then you see on the third page, on Sadi Gimel and Aleph, see those two slash marks. Let's say you have Jewish bread which was made by a non-Jew. So then, Garsin Perkin Amidim, the Gemara of Yochanan, Shalosh Malach is the Pas, etc. So he's already laying things out in a way that the Ran will expand upon. There's Pas Akab. And then there's bread which was baked by a non-Jew. And you'll notice, then he goes on to talk about Sharpi Shulayim. And the whole discussion about the Rajba's whole discussion about, you know, how much does the Jew have to participate, stoking versus making the fire, all that discussion is under the rubric of Pasach and Shul Shanasa de Ovigulu. So the Rashba and the Taras Abayis and later the Ran have this Kiddush. If you look at the tour, he says it also very, very briefly. You don't really appreciate it. It moves very quickly. So unless you're ready to see the Ran expands, the Ran develops it. But the tour, very, very quickly, he says, there's an Isser on Pas Shel Goyim Afilu Asa Afal Yisrael. When he lists, opens Kufyud Beis, there are things which are Asser, even though there's no actual non-kosher, there's no actual Isser Daraisa. Like Pashal Gaim Afilu Afal Yisrael, non-Jewish bread, even if it was baked by a Jew, or Shalakot Shemevashin Hagayim, foods that were cooked by the non-Jews. So it's very brief, but very, very precise. So you have the Rashba, the Taras Abayis, you have the Ran, a great length, a long, long Ran here on the Mishnah, and the tour with great brevity. I'm all saying this idea that there are two separate. That the nature of the Isser Pas and the nature of Isser Bishul are very different. Bishul about non-Jewish cooking. Pas is about the non-Jew owns it. The non-Jew made the dough, even if he didn't bake it. But then the Ran himself points out that although he thinks that explains we have two separate entries in the Mishnah, and that's why the Gemara of Yochanan appears. You know, in what's officially the Pisgah of Shlokas, he says, but Lomaisa, he says, not everyone agrees with me, specifically the Rambam. Look at the Rambam before, he's very brief, and he does not make this distinction whatsoever. The Rambam is clearly, not only does he not use tour-like terminology, but he puts it all together. Halachi Beis is talking about the Sugya Laman. Hey, look, Gimel is talking about the Sugya Laman Ches, about lighting the fire and so on and so forth. He doesn't indicate that they're two separate categories. As a matter of fact, at the end of Halachi Gimel, at the end of his discussion about the Sugya Laman Ches, he talks about Pas Shelahen. It's all one conversation. So the Rambam does not have two separate Yisroel. So the Ran says, okay, the Rambam disagrees with me. And the Beis Yosef points out that the Rashba, although the Rashba and Taras Abayis writes, because he writes like the Ran, that's backwards, but the Rashba and Taras Abayis writes what the Ran several generations later will write, but the Rashba and Tshuva seems to have changed his mind. And he's aligned with the Rambam. So he says, it's a good question. Why are Pas and Bishul two separate Yisroel in the Mishnah? So the Ran says, okay, give it different tarots. He says, there are other differences. For instance, for the Rambam and the Ran, for the Sfaradim, the whole idea of lighting the fire being sufficient, that's only by Pas. You know, remember we saw it in the Bishul Akum. Svardim assumed that if it's Bishul Akum, if it's cooked food, you have to do more than just light the fire. You have to actually be involved in the cooking itself. So the Ron says, okay, maybe that's why pasta is different. It has the kula. Not pasta is different, it has the chumra. For the Rambam, we have to mention pas because pas is less of an isser than bishul. In other words, unlike the Ron, who thinks the Ran and the Raj Bataras of Bias Natura, who think that if the non-Jew baked the bread, it's actually including the isser bishul akum. He says no. Bishul doesn't include pas. Bishul means cooked food. Pas is different, and pas is only usser if it fits into pasa. So, but pas will be mutter, unlike bishul for Sfardim. Pas is mutter even if you stoke the fire. We're going to see next week. Pas may have another enormous kula, and that's more relevant for Ashkenazim, which is by pas or maybe a kula of palter. Maybe that pas is only usser if it's home baked, not if it was baked by a baker. We do not have such a kula by bishul. We don't say that you cannot get the home cooked food, but you're allowed to go to the non-Jewish restaurant. So that's another difference. Again, if you're not going to say like the Ran, there's a sort of this whole other Isra Pas, then you can say Pas is distinct because Pas is more kal. Pas is more kal if you think that lighting the fire only helps by Pas. Pas is more kal if you think there's a kula of palter by Pas. And the truth is, Pas is also more kal.
Why don't they say on the Ran, like, what does it do with the idea of the Shulchan Aruch? The bread, the dough is, I mean, nowadays we eat cookie dough, but you don't eat dough.
So I was going to say, your mom just took the words
out. Because if it's low all
Shulchan Aruch, I agree.
Bread, simple bread.
If it's guy's unedible dough, who cares if the Jew, then bakes it, he's making it edible. So why is it that, how can you make that distinction?
No, so the Ron would say, That's Yenoch Hanani, it's not Bishul Akum. It's not Bishul Akum anyways, because the Jew...
He says
there's a new separate Isser of Pas that doesn't have the...
That doesn't require...
Correct. Would the Ron say
that
Pas Palter helps, if it's
cooked
with Pas Palter, then it's still Bishul Akum.
So the Ron might... Oh, that's interesting.
The Pas Palter doesn't have the Isser of idea of chasus because it's palter. It's not.
I don't care. It's
chasus is the reason.
The Gemara doesn't matter. Chasus is the welcome.
No, but the reason has to be there. That's why the Rashba has this whole question about if the guy is a priest, he never has kids.
That's a good point. So we have to see. We get to pas palter. That the tour actually says that. I believe the tour said later on that the hector of pas palter only if you're getting from a guy. But if, ironically, if you own the dough but you had a non-Jew bake it, then there's no how does that work?
So
no, but you're saying...
I'm saying if it's Freihoffer's, assuming Freihoffer's is non-Jewish, Freihoffer's is Arnold is making the bread. Arnold is not Jewish. You don't have any Jewish workers. And it comes in the shelves. That's Bishul Akum.
That's not going to lead you to chasness.
It's Bishul Akum.
The reason for Bishul Akum is such, it's a gezeira because of chasness. The Rambam says it's not been a Torah. It's a total gezeira.
Here's my suggestion. Let's hold off for a little bit until we get more into the, get more rooted in the world of Palter. But I will tell you that the tour, the beginning of Siftes, after the discussion of Pas Palter, he says, but this whole Pas Palter is only, even if you're going to accept the Heter Pas Palter to the extent of whatever the local minig is, but that's by Pas Shel Goyim, which you could not solve by showing up and stoking the fire. But so there we have a Heter of Palter. But if it's Jewish bread, do Jewish dough that the non-Jew is baking, so then don't use palter. Instead, you go and you poke the fire. So, but let's see. I understand you're saying it should be a chumra, but let's see how it plays out. But one second. So let's also come back to what you were saying. Is another non-Ron approach. If you want to explain again, if you don't want to, adopt the Ron's chumra that non-Jewish owned bread is a problem even if the Jew baked it. I said, then why are they separate Yisurim? So either Pas is unique, it has a kula of dealing with a fire that Bishul does not have. Bishul does not have that kula according to Sfardim. Or Pas is unique as a kula of Palter, which cooked foods do not. Or a third non-Ran option is that maybe Pas has a Chumrah that Bishul does not, and that is that by Bishul we say if it's Eina Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's not a Bishul Akim problem. In other words, if the non-Jew is making potato chips, so that's probably not a Bishul Akim problem. But let's say the non-Jew is baking bread. So some bread is very classy, some bread is not. He's making, well, once upon, until a couple of decades ago, holy bread was socially very insignificant. That was poor man's bread. White bread was for chshuvim. Nowadays, now we see holy bread as being it's very elegant. But you had coarse bread, so that would never be served l'shulchan malachim. If it's part of Bishul, it's mutter. But because it's separate, distinct Isra Pas, I believe we'll keep our eyes open, but I believe we will see that there is no separate kula of Eina Olal Shulchan Malachim. Even if it's very simple bread that doesn't have social cachet, it still is a problem.
The Torah can't hold that way because he specifically brings in the problem with the different meaning dagim. And he says, these dagim, it's okay because they're not all social Malachim. You can't play both sides. The Torah, at the end of the Torah, Aleph says,
okay, good. Fantastic.
So the Torah can hold that way.
Great. Thank you. So the answer requires moving to that topic. So we have three topics in Sifal. The first topic is understanding what is the Isur Pas Akim, or how many Isur Pas Akim are there? And that's this discussion. Let's just see the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll come to the Tshuvas Harash that you're referencing. The Shulchan Aruch here, opening Sif in Yerdei Chel Beis, at least in the traditional printings. I have newer editions of Bahir. You were in the middle of the volume. Simen Kuf Yalf is the end of it was usually Yardei Chelkaf, the end of Taruvus. Here we are, Simen Kuf Yud Beis. We transition from Dinim of Kashrus rooted in Chulin to Dinim of Kashrus rooted in Avodah Zarah. This is Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Yud Beis of Aleph. Asru Chachamim Lachal Paschal Amamim Ovdei Kochavim Mishum Chasnus. Very direct. Pasakim is Asru Agzeh Mishum Chasnus. And the Shach right away comments, Sivka and Olive, Mashma dasa machabe v'harav b'chol ha-simen de'ein isser b'pashal akum ela kishafo akum. Both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are consistent, the Shach points out throughout the simen, that the isser is only if the non-Jew baked it. Kemo shekasev b'es Yosef l'dasa ramam v'harajba. As the Beis Yosef writes, Beis Yosef's long discussion, if you saw Beis Yosef, long discussion, quotes around and hamzels about the Ran and details and tries to figure out how you implement the sheet of the Ran. But then at the end he says, but I spent a lot of time talking about the Ran, and the Torah says it also, we don't pass them that way because the Rambam and the Rashba disagree. Again, as we saw, the Rashba and the Torah Sabai is aligned with the Ran, but the Beis Yosef quotes, yes, but there's a tshuva in Chel Kalf, the tshuva is a Rashba, where he adopts the position of the Rama. It's Afa Pisha, as the Shach writes, Afa Losha Rachav Akum. The non-Jew made the dough, the non-Jew shaped the loaf. Kol Sha Asba Yisrael Maisa Bafia Mut, as long as the Jew had baked it or he had some hand in the baking. He lit the fire, he stoked the fire. And Alkein lo kastav amachabe chiluki adinim delisha varicha shekaz beis Yosef. And that's why, although Yosef Karin is beis Yosef, gets into a lot of details about the parameters of what sort of kneading or lisha or aricha, loaf shaping, is enough to create this iser pasakim, and Beis Yosef, he wrote about it, because at that point he was analyzing the sheet of the Ran. That's in the midst of his discussion of the sheet of the Ran, the tour. But the Rambam and the Rashba, it's, for them it's irrelevant. The Kalah. He says that's the Rav. Chaim Pasa Karav B'Taras Chatas. The Rav is a reference to the Ramah. The Ramah wrote three major halachas for him. He wrote an independent sefer for Taras Chatas. He wrote Darkei Moshe B'Am Latur. And he wrote Hagos, what we usually call the Ramah, on the Shulchan Aruch. The reason why the Rishach wants to reference the Ramah and the Taras Chatas is because in the Darkei Moshe, he gets a little upset with the Beis Yosef. Why are you so quick to assume that we should ignore the Ram, the Tor, we should pass like the Ram of the Rashba. The Ram, the Tor, also very significant. And there, Basarai, maybe we should pass like the Ram, the Tor. Then Dark Ramos ends up, peace, Dark Ramos says, yeah, but on the other hand, you know, Suffolk Drabon, maybe it's because of Suffolk Drabon Lakula. Maybe it's an even split. Maybe it's not that he's weighting the Ram of the Rashba more than the Tor and the Ram. Maybe it's an even split. So Suffolk Drabon Lakula. As an aside, Ricky Vager actually writes that in another context here, the first piece of Chiddush from Kivager, he says, so you find bread. You're assuming the bread has in kosher ingredients, but you're not sure if it's pasakal. So the Kivager writes, number one is Leon Basar Rov over Drachim. Okay? So you have to figure out the Rov. Most people walking by, were they carrying pasakal, were they carrying pas Israel? He says, Mashmur, the Imeh Mechzal Mechza, if there is no Rov, Safed Rabban Lahakal. So the Darkei Moshe already says the Reb Kivager taught Suffrage Rabban Lahakal and Suffrage Mitzias. I don't know what's the providence of this bread, what's the history of this bread. Darkei Moshe is applying Suffrage Rabban Lahakal and the Suffrage and Din. I don't know whether there are one Isser of Pasachim and two Isser of Pasachim. So Suffrage Rabban Lahakal. It's Machlokas, Rambam Rajba versus Tur and Ran. So perhaps that's why the Shach quotes the Rav B'Taras Chatas. In the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah doesn't seem so excited about it. Okay, but look in Taras Chatas there, he's Marich more. Hevi Sham Harbi Me'achrom Shesovim. The Taras Chatas lines, and the Taras Chatas Ramah lines up many later Rishonim, Achronim, he calls them, who feel like the Rambam, that there isn't a second Isser of Pasach. Okay, so that's issue number one. That's issue number one. Halacha lemaasa, halacha lemaasa. Pasak, we follow the Rambam. Pasak was only usher if the non-Jew baked it and exclusively baked it. If the Jew was even partially involved in the baking, then it's mutter. Reb Yochanan's din on Lamed Ches Amid Beis is matir pas, even if it belongs to the non-Jew, even if the non-Jew needed it and shaped it, doesn't matter. All that matters is about the afilah. That is basically structure the same as Bishop. That's how we paskin. But Eric raises a question about Ol Shulchan Malachim. So let's take a look. Because the next, is a sif, as I said, it addresses three issues. The first issue is, how many surim of pasit are there? One or two? Shach says we paskin one. Okay, based on, again, that's the Beis Yosef writes, Dr. Moshe writes, Shach writes, we paskin only one issue. It's a fee or a bust. Okay. The other two issues that come up are what's the definition of pas and what's the definition of nachri. Definition of pas is based on Tshuva's Harash, quoted by the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. The definition of nachri is a Tshuva's Harash, rooted in Tshuva's Harash Ba, quoted by the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah. So let's talk Avisha Risha. I actually brought them along in case you want to see. Shuvas Harash, Shuvas Rashba. Shuvas Rashba is long. I won't read it all now. Shuvas Harash is a brief. Here's Klal Yotes, Simon Chaf Aleph. The way the Shuvas Harash are organized there, and each Klal is a collection of tshuvas about one area of halacha, and then within the klal, numbered. See here, tshuva chafal within klal yutes, she sha'alta pashal kitnis. question. I have bread that's not made from chamesh is made dagon. I have, nowadays it has had renewed popularity, people trying to think about your carbs or trying to avoid gluten. So you'll find all sorts of alternative bread recipes. So you have teff bread, or you have chickpea bread. Chickpea bread, no wheat, no spelt, just made from chickpea flour, ground chickpeas. So paschal kitnis. So number one, is there a pasachim issue? Number two, can I have a yotzei on Pesach? Can I make chickpea matzahs? He says, after all, ma'arvin bo, you can use it to make an erev chateres. So he says, it's not bread with respect to pasachim, it's not bread with respect to matzah. He says, erev, you don't need bread. Erev, you can use any food, as long as it's not water or salt. It has to be a food with calories. So he says, erev is irrelevant. Let's see what he says. Daki emam shem pashal goy, she'ena b'chal pastam, that's she'asru chazal m'shem chasnas. That's not including the pas that chazal for, but eno chashav, not significant. And then he says, afilu b'bishule goyim im eno ol ashul chumlach emotem. Aye, maybe it's bishalachim. So he says, well, it depends. If it's all shulchan lachem, then it's a problem. If it's not all shulchan lachem, and later we showed him assume that generally at that time, pas shel kitnis was not all shulchan lachem. It's a mutter. Nowadays, again, now eating styles have changed. It could be that chickpea bread, teff bread, cassava bread is high end, but at the time it was not all shulchan lachem. And then he says, you're not yotzei in terms of matzah. Mishnah says in the opening of Mishnah is in Chala. Ose isa min ha'achita min ha'orez rov chita chayv b'chal ad yose b'decha v'os pesach if not. Okay. So it was a rush, right? It's not pas for pasachim purposes. It's not pas for matzah purposes. That's what the rush writes. Now, why? So this is interesting. Why is it not? There's no one in terms of Eric's issue. The rush is clear that it seems to be clear that Ola Shulchan Lachem is a bishul consideration, not necessarily relevant for pas. But on the bishul side, if it were to be Ola Shulchan Lachem, this is not pas, this is bishul, so it's governed by the rules of bishul, Hakol Achmir. If it's Ola Shulchan Lachem, if I have classy kasava bread, I have classy chickpea bread, okay, then it's a bishalakim problem. But if it's not classy, if this is would not be served in a formal function, so then by the rules of bishalakim it's mut. Why is it not pasakim and why is it not matzah? So reading the Rush, you might get the impression there are two different reasons. Hard to know. He said it was not pasachim because after all it's not chashav. What does that mean? It's not chashav. And he says it's not including the pasta chazal forbade. It's bishul. And then he says, oh, matzah? No, the Mishnah says matzah has to be chamesh is minei dagon. Well, what do you mean it's not chashav? So it could be he really means one and the same thing. If you look at the Mishnayos, the first two Mishnayos in Maseches Challah, Perakov Mishnayos Aleph and Beis, the Mishnah has a whole list of eras of halacha where we give unique status to the five grains. They're usually translated as wheat, barley, rye, and spelt. Hafrashas Challah, that's why it's the beginning of Maseches Challah. Hafrashas Challah is only if it's the dough is made with five grains. Matzah is only if dough is made with five grains. Isser chametz is only an item made from five grains. I believe the Mishnahis might even talk there a chadash. Now, what do those all have to do with? What do they all have in common? Well, they all are dinim that are limited to the five grains. There's something else that most of them have in common also, which is all or almost all of them have to do specifically with the halachic concept of lechem. The Torah uses the term lechem in several different contexts. And how do we know, for instance, that Hafrashas Challah is only from those five grains? Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? The answer is, well, lechem is used by challah, and lechem is used by matzah. So since matzah is only the five grains, so you assume challah also only the five grains. Well, I know matzah is only the five grains, but because chametz and matzah come hand in hand, and the assumption is that these five grains are only ones that can produce true chimutz, and therefore these five grains are only ones that can produce matzah. But we understand that, Chazal understood that's not just the detail about matzah, but that's because it's a definition of lechem. That creates, when the Torah has a concept of lechem, which shows up several times in Chumash, one of the aspects of definition of lechem is, one of the criteria is, only something made from the five grains. So that's why you only are mafresh challah on lechem, you only bench on lechem, matzah has to be lechem, and all of those are specifically five grains. Part of the definition of lechem, even on daraisa level, is dafka something made from one or more of the five grains. And the Gra makes it seem here like that's what's going on with Pasak Mosa. That's just benching and challah and matzah, those are all dinim daraisa of lechem. Pasaka was the dindra banan of lechem. But it's the same lumdus, and that may be what the rush means also, because he said this isn't the past. This isn't past that Chazal had mind. The ain't no chashuv. It's not chashuv. Simply, a simple level sounds like it's not so significant. But then he goes on to say, well, it may or may not be all shulchan lachem. So if it may or may not be all shulchan lachem, why are you assuming prima facie that it's not chashuv? Maybe it is chashuv. So it sounds like chashuv doesn't mean socially significant. It means it's not considered pas. The Gra, so again, the Rush is hard to know how to read it. In the Gra, though, it's very clear. The Gra writes in the Bira Gra here. Number one, Velo Asru, when the Mechaber quotes his din here at the end of Sefal, Velo Asru al Pashal Chameshes Mine Dagan, Pashal Kitten Shal Orz Vedochan, Ene Bechal Pas Tam Shal Asru. It's only the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, but if it's rice or millet, or cassava or chickpea is not included in the pasakim. Where does that come from? The Gra always tries to give you the earliest possible source. Kemar shekasev perek vav debrachas perekama dechala. He says, oh, it's the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah is in Chala, and the Gemara brachas and Psachim, he mentions specific brachas, that gives a source for they're all related to the Shem Lechem. They didn't mention pasakim. The Mishnah didn't mention pasakim. The Gra didn't mention pasakim. Why is the Gra sending you the definitions of lechem by Hafrashas Challah and Brachas and Matzah? The answer is, the Gra is subtly but clearly telling us it's the same issue. This, it's part of the halachic definition of lechem. Relevant min HaTorah to Brachas and Challah and Pesach, and relevant min Rabbanan to Avodah Zarah as well. And it goes further because the Gra sends you at the end of Sivka and Dalad, Ayein Sivav Bahagah, what does Ramah say in Sivav? He starts talking about other items which are not considered to be pas. He gets into different types of grain products. Which ones are pas and which ones are not? I have noodles, osa nilus, nils. In Sivav, the Gra, the end of Sivka and Dalad, sends you to the Ramah in Sivav. The middle of the Ramah and Sivav, he talks about kichlech, mina misika, shakar, and lekach. They are included in pas. Yes. So then you have to figure out, you know, does pas akam apply or not? It's not bishul akam, it's pas. But there are other types of kichlech that are made on, that you bake on the griddle, so then you got to think about that. And the... Right, and the Darkei Moshe, actually, the Ramah put it in Shulchan Aruch and Sivav, but in Darkei Moshe, he quotes the whole discussion Chachmi Ashkenaz about this, directly coming off of this rush. He says there are some types of grain products that are pas, might be pas about Bekislin, but they're pas. You have to bench if you eat enough of them, and you have to eat ma'af shchala. But then there are other types of grain products that are absolutely not pas. And those are not governed by pasta. They're, you never wash and bench, no matter how much you eat. You never mafresh challah. Let's say if you make oatmeal. Noodles. Right, or perhaps noodles. That's part of the nilus discussion. Oh, so they're never bred. They're not bred with respect to brachas, even if you eat a lot of them. Kaveh Suda. They're not bred with respect to Farshas Challah, and the Darkei Moshe quotes, they're not bred with respect to Pasa Akam either. They're Bishol, so you have to figure out the Ol Shel Chumach and Ol Shel Chumach. They're not Pas. They're not Pas.
So why is Rosh connected to Chametz? Because Chametz are clearly Chametz.
No, no. So the definition of Lechem comes from, the definition of Lechem has several aspects. One is it has to be made with the right grains, and that list of grains comes from Chametz. But in addition to that, Chametz could be, doesn't matter what the way, doesn't have to be bread. But bread has to be made with the right grains, but also not only the ingredients have to be right, but to be lechem also has to be made in the right way. It has to be in a form that has a Torah lechem. It may have to do whether it's baked or not. The other aspects of the presentation, the dough versus batter, how thin, is there a loaf shape? All those aspects, we're not going to get into all that now, but all those aspects that play into Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Matzah and Hilchos Hafarshas Challah are also relevant to Pas. So what emerges from this is the second major issue in Sif Aleph is what's Pas? Pas B'chol Torah Kula. Number one, the major of the Chamesh is Minyadagan, and number two, that it has a Torah Lechem. And finally, let's close with the third issue, who is a Nachar? Who is a Nachar? So that's the Ramah here. The first Rama on the Sif. Pasach was Aser. Afilu makam delekam shem chasnus Aser. Even there's no direct concern of chasnus, it's still Aser. Where is he again? I found they tell in the parentheses. It's true as Rashman Simon Reshman Ches. The first chaluk of Truth Rashbo, the big one. Simon Reshman Ches. The Darkei Moshe quotes it. You have it here. It's a lengthy Rashba. You want to take a look later. It's a very beautiful Rashba. But let's summarize. He raises the issue specifically about monastic bread. The monasteries apparently produce bread. And so monasteries are just priests. So they don't have kids. They take vows of celibacy. So they don't have daughters. Okay, so the local Christian baker who's married and has girls, okay, you're worried. You eat his bread, you may marry his daughter. But this priest in the abbey, he has no daughters. He has no wife. So maybe you should, maybe the Isra Pasakim doesn't apply to Komrim, to priests. Okay. And he says, and the Rashba, interesting, he says,
are they even Akum? Why are they not Akum? Are they really considered that they're Avodah Zara, that they're
Muslims. Yeah, Muslims worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Muslims are apikursim, but not over the Avodah Zara. They worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are apikursim because they deny the supremacy in the Avodah Zara. There's a machlokas, whether there's a machlokas we've shown him, whether Christianity is or isn't Avodah Zara for non-Jews. In other words, some Rishonim clearly held that Christianity is a violation even of Shem Mitzvah Noach. It's even a violation of Avodah Zarah for Nachrim. It's a suffix whether there were any Ashkenazi Rishonim who held that it's mutter for mitama Shavah Mitzvos for a non-Jew to worship Christianity. So it could be some Rishonim held as mutter for non-Jews, but kulam lo pligi that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. For us, yeah, but in terms of Tariq Mitzvah, it's definitely Avodah Zarah. And then the Shoal says, and the Rashba's quoting, you told me, you had asked me once before, I said it's Aser, but now you came up with the Gemara, and everything is a riot, that's Mutter. Because the Gemara says a particular Iser doesn't apply in a context where the Tom doesn't apply. Zah, you see, here too, the Pas Komrim, the priest's bread should be mutter, or the monk's bread should be mutter, because the Talmud doesn't apply. So the Rashba has four responses. He says, you're wrong for four reasons. He's very dramatic. At one point he says, you should take out your pen and cross out what you wrote. He says, I can blow your whole sheet away. He says, number one, You can't compare different gzeres rabbanon. That's a comment that the Bali Tos is making in various places. Ein l'damas gzeres gzeres. He says sometimes we have all sorts of kulas in din rabbanon. Sometimes all sorts of chumras. It's even within Hilchos Shabbos, which was the source that the Shaul was asking the end of Erim. He says sometimes we're makel on many sun rabbanon b'makom choli. We're makel on Amir l'nachim b'makom yisher tzitzro. On the other hand, sometimes we'll insist on the gzeres rabbanon Hilchos Shabbos, even though it means and you're not allowed to carry, you're going to miss out on the mitzvah of milah. You cannot carry a knife through an area which is a karmelis, even if it's the only way to do bris milah. So it says it's very hard to give principles. It's really case by case basis. That's number one. Don't compare. He says number two. He says. So how about a. A non-Jew who's not a priest, but he's not married. A single guy. Or he's married, he has no kids. Really? Are you going to start chopping this down? We said shemen mishum yayin. So are you allowed to buy shemen from a guy who doesn't also have wine? The guy only sells oil, doesn't sell wine. He's not a, you know, not running a supermarket. He's running an oil store. So then it's takamutter. He says, no, clearly not. And that leads him to, I'm sorry, I had said, to point number three. It's really a continuation of two, which is, Benoseim doesn't mean his daughter. It means their daughters. And that's what we had seen the Rambam. We need to maintain boundaries. So once you're going to be comfortable interacting with this non-Jew in the context of his bread, so it's not just you may marry his daughter, it loosens the next step. You're going to be comfortable with other non-Jews in other contexts. You have a list of to someone else. And then eventually it's to someone's daughter. So number one, Ein l'damas gzeira l'gzeira. Number two, clearly we don't say this. LMI, point number two. Benosei means benos goyim in general. And then he says, point number three, it's a low point. Besides the fact that Ein l'damas, and besides the fact that you misunderstood what benosei means, the time is broader than you think. Anyways, it's a low pluk. And that third point is Rashba Le Shi Tasa. Because you remember, in Bishalach, we had seen a wide range in Machlokas Rashba Ra'ah about whether Bishalach is a low pluk or not. And the Rashba there, it really sounded like, the Rishonim sounded like this, maybe it's not just about Bishalach, maybe about some of the others as well. So that third argument of the Rashba, that in addition to Ein l'damas gzeira and you interpreted Benosein too narrowly, that Bechlal, it's a low plug, that sounds like very much Rashba l'shitasa. So that's how the Ramah quotes him. The Ramah quotes it as the third argument of the Rashba. I feel welcome to Lech Mishim Chasnas.
Rashba's more
mekel
by
pas
than he is even by Bishol.
What do you mean?
Because he allows, he seems like we talked about it in Bishalakum, even if it's, we talk about if it's your bread, if your food, but the guy who cooks it is in your house, the Rashba held that was still a problem. Remember, there's a Machlokas Rashba, the Ritva. Ritva was like, if it's in your house, then that's fine with the Rashba. But here, the bread, the Rashba then says, but the bread of the guy who then you needed, you put in the oven, it's okay.
Yeah, Bali Mutar Bishlakim also. If I put in the oven, put in Bishlakim too.
The Rashba?
For everyone. Oh, well, the Rashba splits, right. There are two different versions of the Rashba. So you're saying that the Rashba is more machmer in certain things, more making other things. True. That's true. That's true. That's true. And maybe let's wrap this up with on the third part, again, the first major issue been that issue you just touched upon. Are there two Yisurim or one? Number two is, what's the definition of pas? And we saw both in terms of ingredients and in terms of format, it's the general principles of pas, rooted in the Tshuvas Harash. And then finally, the definition of nachri, so rooted in the Tshuvas Harashba, that is any nachri, even a nachri who doesn't actually have a daughter. However, the Pesach Tshuva says, but there is a case where we're going to say, you know, that fellow is not included in Pas Nachri. Here. Pesach Chuva Sifkan Aleph. Yeah. He said, but let's say he is Jewish. Right? The Shach and Sifkat and Dalet had given more of the details. Rashba said, Pas Komen. But, so the Pesach Chuva said, I am Berhetiv. Look at the Berhetiv who gives you typically the summary of the Shach and the Taz. And then he says, I am Sefer Tferes Lemoshe, who writes, Pas Shalmumar Shari. He is a mumar, but he's still Jewish. If he has a daughter, his daughter is Jewish. If she's a mumaras, that's unfortunate. So, right, I would have thought, you're right. I would have thought it's even worse.
The Jews are not bikkuris. Eat their bread, you can marry their daughter, but the...
Yeah, it seems all right. So it's intriguing. But what the Tferes Lemoshe is saying is the following. Again, if the Apikoros's daughter is also not Apikorosat, Apikorosa, whatever the term is, Koferes, so then obviously we would vigorously advise you not to marry her. But just the fact that she's a Bas Hamumar doesn't create a problem. If she's a fine young Jewish woman, a Ma'amina, but her father is a Mumar. Even if her father was a Mumar at the time, and her mother, both parents were Mumarim, and they had a child. So, right? She's a Jewish girl. She's Chozeres B'Tshuva. She's raised religiously. She's Chozeres B'Tshuva. She's absolutely a Jewish girl. She doesn't need Geiris. Hilchos Geiris, they have a Minigah Gaonin, that a Jew who's Mamasha, Humar, Hamer Dusso, Jew who Rachman son converts to Christianity, they had a minig that when he did tshuva, they would go to mikvah. Ki'ilu a geiris, but it's not literally a geiris. He doesn't lose Kedushas Yisrael. For a certain dino, we treat him dino ka'akum, but he doesn't lose Kedushas Yisrael. His child, or more to the point, her child, a Mumeris's child is Jewish. She doesn't need a tefillah mikra din. So that's what the... That's what Rekiva Eger says. That's what Pesach Tshuva says. We don't say he's Dino Ka'akum with respect to Bazak. If the fellow is actually a non-Jew, even if he doesn't have daughters, you say, it's not categorical. This non-Jew, coincidentally, doesn't have children. But here, the Mumar, it's different. He categorically doesn't have non-Jewish children. He is a Jew who Rechmal Atzlan with Hamer Dasa. But he's not... He may be missing the discussion what exactly the status of Dino Ka'akam, but definitely not the same as a Nachri Mamish, and therefore the Tferes Lemoshe at least assumes, and there is some debate about this, Tferes Lemoshe at least assumes that since Chasnas doesn't apply, so maybe we should say that Pasakam does. But there are those who disagree, either because, the Rashba said that the reason is irrelevant, Dino Ka'akam, or you might even say, if the reason is relevant, if anything is saying, maybe I should, there's a greater concern that not having healthy boundaries with a mumar is going to be difficult than not having healthy boundaries with a born gut. So
but
that's an open
issue. Point is, if you think about the reverse case, if there's a frum guy with a mumar daughter, I can't eat his bread?
Right. That way we definitely would not go. Right. Again, even though
more we're concerned.
Right. The answer is Belzelo Gazru. Chazal never made a Xer on Pasisrael.
So they
didn't
make a Xer on Abikoris' daughter
either. Yeah. Although the Tferes Lemoshe's argument is there isn't a concern of Chasnas. Not this isn't part of the concern is there, but this isn't part of the Xeris. That's what's interesting about. Okay.